For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Lots of odds are pouring through X. Patrick Mahomes, 200 plus passing yards. Lamar Jackson, 25.
Whoa. 200 plus?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the over-under is?
Well, it's parlayed.
Oh, okay.
So you take 200 plus passing yards for Mahomes, 25 plus rushing yards for Lamar Jackson, and 4 receptions for Travis Kelce.
Which do you think of the 3 of those is going to be the most difficult to see happen?
Maybe Lamar 25.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Say Travis.
Or Travis with the 4 plus could
that's
be.
What I was going to say. Yeah.
That could be a little bit difficult as well. But again, I think where this team's mindset is, Travis may have 4 receptions on the first drive.
Good.
You know, I mean,
we've seen
if they don't go up over the top 75 yards touchdown on the first play, I could see Travis Kelce having 4 plus receptions on the first drive, especially if Taylor Swift is drawing up the plays, which Patrick talked about over the weekend. Like, Taylor's drawing up some plays.
Story,
I'm good with that, right? Let's go. Let's see what she has.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's going to be a play that's going to be named after one of her songs.
Oh, no doubt. And we're going to know about it in the Super Bowl.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Which one do you think it will be? Which song will be the name of a play?
Blank Space.
Oh, all right.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Do you think when Travis gets hurt, he just tells him to shake it off?
I don't know. Hopefully not. So I saw a cool thing this weekend. It was just in passing, looking through social media, and the Utah Sports Hall of Fame introduced Alex Smith as its new member.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Many thoughts going to my head. Mac, do you remember first time in sports history where the number one pick in the NFL and the number one pick in the NBA in the same year came from the same school?
Is that still the only one?
Might not be anymore, but I know it is. I think it is.
I think it is.
And you remember, you remember the two names.
Yeah.
Alex Smith and
Kyle Whittingham.
Not true. I believe it was Andrew Bogut.
Yes.
Two number one picks overall. Same school. And Alex Smith gets introduced to the Utah Sports Hall of Fame. Is Alex Smith a Ring of Honor member?
I think Alex Smith right now is more revered than he was when he played here. And I don't even think it's even close. Like, yeah. I think people were done with Alex Smith here in Kansas City for whatever reason. I still think he's probably the third best quarterback in franchise history, right? We didn't realize how good he was. And I think kind of took him for granted. And he was kind of in that same mold as like not winning playoff games and all that kind of nonsense. Like, I think Alex Smith was kind of fighting from behind the eight ball when he got here to Kansas City. And then we found out how significant he was to the development of Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And I believe Alex Smith is more appreciated today than he was any day that he actually played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
How much of the injury do you think plays into that?
I think that plays into it as well. I think people got sympathetic for when he got hurt in Washington.
Right.
But I also think people got really, really, really close, if you will, to Alex Smith when we find out how much he meant to the development of Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
correct,
we hear it every single week. It seems like there's another comment about Alex Smith did this, or Alex Smith did that, or Alex Smith did this, or Alex, to the point where every franchise in the NFL thinks that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. The problem is you didn't have the character guy like Alex Smith who was willing to do this. I was talking to somebody over the weekend that, you know, is around the league, and we were talking about this Jaden Hicks guy, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, it's amazing.
Not to be a baller.
Right. And they were talking about the leadership that Justin Reed is providing for Jaden Hicks. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself about, like, why would Justin Reed provide that? And they said to me, it's because he didn't have a leader when he came up. And I said, who was that guy? And they said, Tyron. And I was like, oh, okay. So Tyron was the mentor for Justin Reed. Justin Reed is getting challenged by Jaden Hicks, but is being this unbelievable mentor to him, because if Justin goes down, they're going to need Jaden Hicks to step up. And so that's the way that he looks at it, but not the way that every other player in the NFL is looking at being, you know, a veteran leader. A lot of these guys, and I don't blame them, they're fighting for their job. They're not about to help lead you, right? We're looking at a guy in Alex Smith who is willing to help Patrick Mahomes and lead him and turn him into a better player, leaving the place better than when he got there. And there's very few players in the NFL that are willing to do what Alex Smith did, especially at that quarterback spot. And he's kind of become the carbon copy that everybody wants, but nobody has Alex Smith, man. Nobody has a guy like that.
And I thought it was unfair, excuse me, because when Alex Smith got here, the entire franchise was abysmal. It was just, it was bad.
It was the worst year in the history of the NFL when they joined here in Kansas City.
And it was Andy Reid and Alex Smith came over. And obviously you had your heartbreak with the Colts game, and then it led to the Steelers game and the Titans game and whatever. Not only that, Alex Smith is probably a Toyota Corolla to Patrick Mahomes' Lamborghini in the garage. Like, yeah, I don't want to drive the four-cylinder car that's just good on gas miles. It'll get me to point A to point B. I want to drive the one that I can do whatever I want,
right,
however I want to, because it comes with that sort of thing. And then as you've heard throughout Mahomes' career, you know, I love where I'm at. I'm here because of Alex Smith. He taught me the NFL sort of ways to be it. And Alex Smith has always been a perfect example of why I've said guys like him are better coaches than guys like a Peyton Manning. Because Peyton Manning just had God-given talent where it's like, how did you like develop? He's like, I don't know, just how I read it and it just developed. Whereas Alex Smith didn't have all those, but he knew what he had to do to like get around it. Kind of like a Jim Harbaugh, right?
Yeah,
like,
the greatest athletes do not make the greatest coaches.
Because it's hard to put into words what they naturally are able to do.
Like George Brett. That's why I was hitting coach for 5 minutes. He goes, this is too hard.
Yeah, they don't understand. Yeah, like, I just see ball, hit ball, right?
Yeah. Like Ted Williams was a terrible hitting coach as well for the Red Sox. Like, you're the greatest hitter of all time. He's like, yeah, it was. I just did it, you know, like see ball, hit ball. Like, you can't teach because you're so good at what you do. It's hard to like, look at all the great coaches in the NFL. Andy Reid was never a great NFL player.
Right.
Bill Belichick was never a great NFL player. You know, who else? Pete Carroll was never a great
Doug
NFL
Peterson.
Player. Doug Peterson was, he was a marginal backup.
Right.
You know, Mike Tomlin was never a great NFL type of player.
Yeah, like McVay, Shanahan, none of these guys
are, right? I'm trying to go back and think the last true NFL coach.
Jim Harbaugh would be the first one. Mike Vrabel, those
Vrabel
guys.
Vrabel was a good NFL player, yep. But he always had that coaching acumen. Like, he was always a teacher.
Gonna be
like,
a coach.
You just knew Vrabes was going to be a coach when he was putting out that cigarette before running through the tunnel.
Mm.
Like, you know, like, I'm just thinking about, like, great NFL players or great baseball players that turned into great managers or Joe Torre, good baseball player, but he was a great manager. Or who's a great manager right now that everybody talks about in baseball? Like Mike Socha back in the day, good player, became a great manager. It is like a lot of these guys just aren't as good and they're not able to teach because it just came so natural to them. And that's where Alex Smith kind of falls in. Like, he ended up being a great teacher for Patrick Mahomes.
And not only for Mahomes, but I mean, another guy that talks about Alex Smith and helping his development and become, you know, the All-Pro Hall of Famer, maybe the greatest player at his position ever, is Travis Kelce.
Talks a lot
about Alex Smith in those practices and watching film. And hey, here's how you go down on your breaks. Here's how you run a good route. Here's how you sit in the zone. Like, that's a huge, I mean, our two best players in franchise history and two of the best players in the National Football League have a lot to thank because of Alex Smith. I mean, forget what he did on the field. So
we can agree, Alex Smith is probably one of the most, I don't want to use the word disrespected, but unappreciated Chiefs of all time. And he's definitely a Ring of Honor candidate. He should definitely be in the Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Easy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, never was a guy that worried about himself. Never had a bad thing to say about Kansas City. Never was... You know, and even when he got traded to Washington.
Yeah.
Or not, maybe not traded, but he got traded to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They it was like the perfect deal. He got $170 million. Everyone's like, Alex Smith got $170 million. It's like,
oh, the Chiefs gave him that like out the door. They got found him a great deal because of what he did here. Had he not done what he did with Patrick Mahomes and the way that he handled it and the way that he was a pro, I don't know that the Chiefs would have been that, you know, motivated, if you will, to find Alex Smith a great deal. But they helped find him a great deal because of what he did here for this organization.
Yeah, he's almost got like that Moses narrative, right? Moses never saw the promised land, but he led the people there.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't going to get there himself, he knew the people were going to get there to get biblical in a weird way. I'm not trying to do that to you, but I'm just saying like Alex Smith was here to set the team up for what it is now.
And nobody envisioned that it was going to be like it was. I mean, just nobody ever. Both the Alex Smith thing, they thought he'd be nice and helpful and all that, right, but nothing to the level that he was, where 7 years later, we're still talking about the Alex Smith effect on this team.
Because of what he's been talked about by these players that are great. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, two of the best players in franchise history, if not two best. You'd probably have to throw 58 and 16 in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But we could have that discussion till the end of time. Panic button time, not for Cincinnati, but maybe for another team. Plus, we'll get back into our guy, Josh Furner. He'll join us at 8:30 on the other side. We talk about panic buttons and what was probably a terrible weekend for most of you as you watch these Kansas City Royals, but we will bring you back up. And I'm going to try to get Vern back into his lovable ways. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty here with you on a Tuesday. 2 days away from the opening night of the NFL, which is right here in Kansas City with the Chiefs versus the Ravens. You can hear all that action on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Mitch, Danon, Kling, and much other things like Royals baseball, Vern's on deck show. You'll hear Josh Furner here in about 10 minutes. I know he's probably still hot. I'm really hoping he didn't bring back the Parliament lights.
No kidding. He doesn't need to be doing that to himself. Do you think it's driving him back to smoking?
Well, if people are texting Vinny Pasquantino that he doesn't know how to play first base, I'm sure Vern's getting a little bit of hatred as well.
I'm sure he is. But what are you hating Vern for? Like, what did Vern do to this?
Because he's the voice right after the loss.
Gotcha,
He's just the first thing that you see. Like,
You probably didn't
hate your teacher on Monday morning. You just hated Mondays, and the first thing you saw was Miss Anderson be like, all right, everybody sit down. God, I hate that teacher.
That's true, yep.
Telling me what to do on a Monday.
Monday morning, and I get it, but like Vern, man, he's just the messenger. He's just the conduit, right? Like, don't take your anger out on Vern. He didn't do anything wrong. And again, to this Vinny Pasquantino thing, he said the other day, I guess over the weekend, yesterday it was, you know, he has fans texting him that he doesn't know how to play first base and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, really? Like, what kind of horse's ass is texting Vinny Pasquantino?
You said tweeting a double sandwich to horse's ass earlier.
Yeah, like a horse's ass stuff with a moron wrapped in a horse's ass. That's what you are if you're texting Vinny Pasquantino that he doesn't know how to play first base. I mean, the guy is going through a lot right now.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, I think all of us have dealt with some sort of mental health issues over our lives, and we realize it later that, hey, we're going through this. This is a tough time. I can't imagine what Vinny Pasquantino is going through right now from the mental side of things, knowing that this organization was this close to steamrolling into the playoffs, and now he's out for the entire rest of the season, and this team is hanging on by a thread, and he's the cat. Like, I can't imagine the mental gymnastics that he's doing and how he's probably wanting to blame himself for a freak injury that happened over there at first base. And you got dolts out here texting and tweeting this guy, telling him that he doesn't know how to play first base. Like, what kind of human being are you, man? Have some compassion and have some sympathy. These guys are human.
Before we get into Vern, I'll play you these cuts that we played earlier on Vinny in case you missed them. But the support system that he describes here, which I think is in lieu to the tweets that he was sent through his injury, you start to kind of like really feel for sometimes these athletes, what they have to go through.
Yeah, I was a wreck. Not my proudest moments, just because it was, you know, I felt sorry for myself, and I probably did for about an hour. And then, you know, Sal talked to me, and Sal was the most direct person with me, and it helped a lot. Of just, I got to get over how I feel about myself right now. It happened. You can't go back and change it. So what can I do to help in the future? So the conversation that I had with Sal, which I will keep to myself, was super important for me. because he's been through it too, you know, with season enders, and he helped me a lot talking to different guys on the team. My wife, my parents, just seeing my dog when I got home helped, because he doesn't care if I'm healthy or not. So yeah, I'm lucky to have a great support system around me, and the coaches have been great. Training staff's been great. Sam's been great. You guys have been great. So it's like, you know, I'm very fortunate. This sucks, but the people around me, you know, are lifting me up, not dragging me down. So just going to do what I can to help in the meantime and try to get back as efficiently as I can.
And when you hear that audio and we take a different approach to it that we took earlier, that is the clear cut and damnedest reason as to why a guy like Salvador Perez is the captain of this team.
Yeah.
Remember that one year when Sal got hurt just carrying his luggage up? You're like, oh, and it was one of those times where, like, Sal just was always hurt. And yep. It was, like, sometimes just a fluke thing. Like, sometimes it'd be a foul ball to the face mask. It's like, he's got a concussion. He can't play. He's out.
Right.
He hurt his foot going up the stairs carrying a luggage bag. The Lorenzo Cain days when it was, like, every
Lorenzo
year
would,
like,
have freak injuries.
He'd be like,
yeah,
stop lunging for first base and hurting your foot. And then you see that now Vinny's here. So is Sal. And like you said, I felt so, like, that is so incredibly awesome to be able to be that humble and honest in front of media where they're going to play these clips on local radio. And it's like, yeah, I was in a bad place. I admit that. Mm-hmm. I felt sorry for myself for about an hour. Like, why is it happening to me? Why is this always happening to me? And then here comes big El Capitan saying, hey, man, shake it off. Get it fixed. Be in the locker room. Be around this team. Be positive. And that's all you can be is, like, if of someone who's kind of in the same personality, the Latin version basically of Vinny Pasquantino, can't play, guess what? Have a smile on your face. Drop the same joke to Bobby Witt Jr. every time he hits a 455-foot crank. Do that sort of thing, and those vibes still kind of stay there, and that's why this team, when you talk about the locker room, we talk about the different sort of look of the Royals, that's why they're effective, and then this is what he had to say about being a Kansas City Royal, about more on the injury.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't want to think about it too much because I want to be a guy the Royals can count on to be here, and I haven't been that. And that, like, that's the part that is so upsetting for me is it's like, you know, when I close my eyes and envision what my career could look like in Kansas City, I want it to be, a long one and a healthy one. And thus far, every year something has happened, which every year something happens to everybody, right? This one's different, a little different than the shoulder because it was a actual play and it was just trying to make a play. So, in that regard, it's like, that's where I get the most upset where it's like, man, you know, I just want to be out there and just be able to help and things like this happen. And it's like, you know, what do I got to do, you know, to just, and there's nothing I could have done. It's kind of funny, like right after it happened, you know, there's a few people that tweeted at me immediately and said, if I knew how to play first base, this wouldn't have happened. I don't regret the play that happened. I don't know what I did wrong. So to those guys, like, I wish you could give me a solution instead of just the problem. But it happened. I'm going to continue to fight to be here and to, you know, to be a productive major league player and to help this team get to the playoffs and try to win championships. So it sucks right now, but I'm going to do whatever I can to change that in the future.
It sucks that he got injured. It sucks that he's a big part of this team. He's the heart and soul of this team, but it sucks even more that people are pouring salt in the wound by sending him messages on Twitter and X and whatever else that he doesn't know how to play first base. And I really do. I think that that's kind of despicable. You're dealing with a human being who's been basically the heart and soul of this team, the guy that's kind of kept it all together, you know, outside of, you know, Bobby and outside of Salvi. And you got alleged fans out there that are sending him messages on Twitter and social media saying he doesn't know how to play first base. And I really think that is a pathetic existence. And I really feel bad for those people. But that's what we do. We tend to react to the negative all the time, Dusty. Instead of taking in all the positive support that's there, you let those negative things bother you. And that's why we have such a mental health crisis in this country, because it's not about what we're able to do. It's about what we're not doing that we get upset about and get worked up about. And why wasn't I invited to this? Or why wasn't I part of that? Instead of appreciating what we have going on. I'm sure there were thousands of people that were pouring out their support for Vinny, but there's a couple of loudmouth losers out there who are going to tell him he doesn't know how to play first base. And that's the mental health side of things that we need to be so careful with, because that's what people focus on. And the mental health in this country, as we've talked about for years and years and years, is so important. We need to be supporting Vinny right now. This is probably his lowest lowest moment as a professional baseball player. We as a city and as a fan base need to be there to support Vinny Pasquantino in all possible ways. And if you're not willing to do that and you want to send him nasty messages on social media, then you probably should revoke your Royals fandom, because you're really not a fan if you're doing something like that. This is when we need to come around and be part of the solution and not part of the problem, and send Vinny messages and be like, hey, dude, we got your back. We're here for you. We're going to support you. Not nasty stuff that he doesn't know how to play first base. I don't understand the MO behind any of that. That just doesn't work for me.
A lot of times when these injuries can happen, guys will curl up into a ball, go into a dark place, and never be seen again. Vinny Pasquantino says his team will keep fighting.
I'm just one guy, and we all know in baseball that one player doesn't make or break anything with the team. So it's a team of 28 guys now. And if that team is pulling the same rope, then you got a shot. And I know that this team is pulling the same rope. So you just got to go in and do your job, keep passing the baton, keep having good at-bats, keep moving runners, keep getting guys in from third, just doing the little things right. You do the little things right with this team, you're going to be in a good spot. So, and like we've talked about, like, this team has nothing but fight in it. So they're going to keep fighting, keep doing the little things right, keep playing the game the right way, keep playing hard, and see where we are come the end of the year.
A lot of fight, a lot of heart. And Vinny Pasquantino will be back in that dugout to cheer these guys on, because I know there's a guy that could use a little bit of light. Boy, I bet it was a rough weekend for one of my best friends, and someone I truly do love is Josh Verner, our Royals insider, whose show starts tonight here on 96.5 The Fan at 5:30. Vern, how are you today, my man?
I guess he doesn't even want to talk to us anymore.
Sounds like it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I guess...
I guess he's not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there we go. Hello.
Hey. Yes, hi. Hi. I thought it was over. I thought we were...
How was your weekend, Vern?
Well, listening to Vinny Pasquantino, I think, is the latest example of why most people should just log off of social media, stay away from it. I know since I returned to this role covering the Royals pre- and post-game, I've pretty much waved goodbye to Twitter, to social media, because it ruined 2016, 17, and 18 for me. Just so much negativity robbed me of what was some very fun summers, a very fond goodbye to Hosmer and all of them. I was just so focused on all the negativity that was coming in. I think a lot of people could learn if it's affecting someone that appears to have so much like Vinny, you should feel no shame when it affects you in your quote-unquote normal life.
Yeah.
So hang it up if it's affecting you. You're not going to miss out on anything on social media.
No, and that's kind of the way I am, too. I think, Vern, as we get older, we start to realize, like, that really doesn't matter. It's not that important what some trolls are saying on social media. Like, I think it's better for everybody's mental health to get off it, because you're going to feel better about yourself. You just are.
Yeah, as you get older, you realize whose opinion matters, who you respect, who you care about, and it's often family and a close group of friends.
Yep, and that's about it. So where are we right now, dude? Like, these six in a row, Vinny, you know, being out, and, you know, it just feels like people are kind of depressed right now about this team.
Yeah, listen, the post-game show this weekend, honestly, I was the bad guy for most of it, and that's perfectly understandable. And I think the issue is some Royals fans have a difficult time handling two separate messages, in that 2024, regardless of what happens over these final 23 games, 2024 is always going to be remembered fondly. This team has sent a spark through Kansas City, and honestly, from I can't tell you how many people have called in this year and said, Vern, I haven't listened since 2016. I haven't called you up since 2014. This team has rekindled the love of baseball in Kansas City. That is never going to change. Anyone that views 2024, regardless of how it finishes, anyone that views this season as a disappointment or a failure, Bob, I think you had a pretty good description for people earlier, a horse's ass. If you look down on 2024, that's exactly what you are. But at the same time, when you lose someone the caliber of Vinny Pasquantino, we can't just say next man up. Vinny Pasquantino in the biggest spots, two outs with a man in scoring position. You know, that's when a pro's pro, the best hitters in the world, step up, because the big reliever's coming out, or the big starter's going to lock in. man in scoring position with two outs. There's only six guys with a better OPS than Vinny Pasquantino, and they're all heading to the Hall of Fame or are former MVPs. It's Bryce Harper, it's Salvi, it's Juan Soto, it's Jose Ramirez, Corey Seager, and Cody Bellinger. The best of the best in Major League Baseball, and Vinny's in that group. Cleveland can't replace Jose Ramirez. New York can't replace Juan Soto, Corey Seager, so on and so forth. So let's acknowledge just how clutch, just how good Vinny Pasquantino is. So two things can be true. This has been a great season, but losing Vinny Pasquantino is a remarkable blow that this team will not be able to compensate for. But 4.5 up, with 23 to play, my mantra down the stretch is just hang on. It doesn't have to be pretty. I'm not expecting you to win the division anymore. Just hang on. If you win by default because Detroit and Seattle and Boston continue to pee down their leg,
yeah,
whatever. They don't ask for your resume when you get to October. They just let you play baseball. So if the Royals can just hang on, let's see what this pitching staff, what Bobby and Salvi can do in that three-game wildcard series.
You mentioned Jose Ramirez. Total tangent here. It could be real quick. Why doesn't he get enough love for how great a baseball player he is? Like, I mean, when you look at his numbers, I mean, my God, he's up there with Judge and Bobby Whippet, yet nobody talks about this guy.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into it. He's really not that flashy. He hasn't been, well, I mean, he was on the big stage in the World Series against the Cubs, but that wasn't his team. He really wasn't the star yet. That was Lindor and a number of others, including that pitching staff. You know, the language barrier always hinders your ability to flourish in the United States. Being in Cleveland, I'm sure, hurts Jose Ramirez. But yeah, Bob, people like you, people that follow baseball, they understand that this guy's one of the 10 best players in the game.
No doubt about it. Talking with Vern here on 610 Sports Radio. You really lose Vinny tonight. Tanner Bibee's going, Vinny 6 of 8 off of this guy this year with 2 home runs. That's a big loss in the lineup tonight. Like, how do they make up for that now? Because then Gurriel gets hurt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. How they make up for it to me is the rotation returns to their April and May form, which was absolutely dominant. If you look at this 6-game losing streak, outside of the first loss when Michael Wacha tried to man up and give you another inning and the bullpen was depleted and he wasn't up for it and the team ultimately lost. In the 5-game sense, Royals starting pitching has been outdone by the opposition in every single game. Not that Lugo or Marsh or even Wacha yesterday or Brady Singer, they all pitched well, but they were outdone by fill-in-the-blank opposing starting pitcher. That wasn't happening often in April and May. Your dominant effort was able to, dominate the other team. So I think that needs to return. Bobby and Salvi need to be darn near perfect when they come to the dish with runners in scoring position. For as much as I want to say Massey, Melendez, John Schreiber, or someone else needs to step up and pick up the slack, I don't feel comfortable putting that at the feet of any one Royal. What I do feel comfortable in saying is the all-stars on this team must continue to play like all-stars. Guys like Singer and Wacha, who were on the cusp of being an all-star, I need you to raise your level even more down the stretch. But as I mentioned, Bobby and Salvi hitting with runners in scoring position, here's the issue that this team's running into. They're not going to let Bobby beat him. I'm not letting Salvador Perez beat me. I'm watching that game yesterday. Bobby comes to the dish 4 times. By my count, he had 2 pitches to hit. You look at this, since the start of the Houston series, the Royals are 4-4-31 with runners in scoring position. Bobby and Salvi have a combined 3 opportunities. Right, Bobby's been walked in the first inning, now in back-to-back games. It's suddenly a easy lineup to maneuver your way through, unless Massey or Melendez, those are the two guys I keep coming back to, unless those two can get on a heater like we saw Alex Gordon and Gerard Dyson do back in August of 2014 when Eric Hosmer was lost for the month. Gordon put together the best month of arguably his best season, and Gerard Dyson put together the best month of his career to help fill in for Eric Hosmer. Not to mention, you had a legendary bullpen back in 2014, and that was the best month of the season for that rotation. They had a sub-3 ERA. So it's going to take everyone, but it needs to be led by your stars.
I would like to see tonight Brady Singer be that guy that he was 2 years ago when they would play those teams and they'd have those 6-7 game losses in a row, Vern, and then all of a sudden Singer go out there and say, not today, fellas, let me just go out there and shove, because you get Singer, Lugo, Reagans, and probably your three biggest games of the year moving forward, because you get two against Cleveland, an off day where you know what happens when 15 throws the football around, and if they go into that game with a sweep back-to-back, there's going to be a lot of doubtfuls out there, and Brady Singer can be one of those guys that says, hey, Mahomes might be throwing the ball on Thursday, but I'm throwing it tonight, Lugo's throwing it Wednesday, and Reagans is throwing it Friday against Cleveland and Minnesota.
So what do you want from Singer? Let me ask you. Give me the final line you want from him.
I would love a quality start, so I'd love six innings, three runs, six strikeouts, and just get in there, keep your team in the game, and give them a chance. I don't need seven innings, two hits, no runs. I need a quality start.
Okay, so then those final three innings, Lucas Irsay can give you two.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing that I keep coming back to right now with this team, and whether it's Jose Ramirez or the next series with Royce Lewis or Aaron Judge after that,
mm-hmm.
Matt Olson coming up when the Braves host the Royals at
Love
the end of the
guy.
Season. Four at-bats a game. Mm-hmm. Bobby gets four at-bats. Jose Ramirez gets four at-bats. How are you going to get them out? Who do you want on the mound for those four at-bats against Jose Ramirez? This, to me, has dominated my thinking of late. And it shows just how much pressure is on these starting pitchers. So I look at those four at-bats for Jose Ramirez. No doubt the last one's going to Lucas Irsay. The first two are going to Brady Singer. Who gets that third? To me, Singer is the best option. Tomorrow, Lugo is the best option. Reagans against Royce Lewis coming up on Friday. He's going to be the best option until someone else presents themselves as I can be that bridge from the starting pitcher to Lucas Irsay. The teams that you're battling, Seattle, Detroit, Boston, I don't think they have as much talent as you, even losing Vinny Pasquantino. Maybe you're eye to eye, but they're certainly not clearly better than you, not when you have a healthy rotation. But the question is, can you find that guy over the final 23 games? Because that will, you talk about being bummed out going into the Chiefs game on Thursday. If you can find that guy over the next 4 weeks, I think that will be the biggest reason for me to have confidence going into the postseason, but right now I'm still of the mindset that I want my starting pitcher, whoever it is, maybe outside of Alec Marsh, I want my starting pitcher getting that opposing lineup a third time, which spits in the face of modern thinking.
All right, Vern, I'm holding in my hand a 1988 Topps featuring Joey Cora.
Chicago White Sox.
No, Padres.
Ugh. Wow, yeah, okay. All right, yep.
Damn. All right. What about
that's a good card, too. Damn.
89 Fleer featuring Gino Petralli.
Texas Rangers.
You got that one, my friend.
There we go. There we go. I think that's
more.
The only team he played for. So.
Fleer, 1990, Danny Jackson.
Ugh.
1990, Danny Jackson.
That's right.
Philadelphia Phillies.
No, Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, 90. Come on, Vernier. All right. Well, that's disappointing.
Well, you keep
and they won the title in 1990.
Come on, Vern.
Danny J, baby.
Pathetic.
That's what they call him on the streets.
Royals legend.
Well, hey, Vern, your pregame at 5:30 tonight. Chance to get some Royals tickets to the final, few games at the house tonight. That'll all start at 5:30. Get a chance to start winning those at about 5:40, right?
Yeah, let's hope. We got to give them away. Game's coming up tomorrow. They're tickets for tomorrow night. So,
it'll be
a very easy question. I want someone to grab
that. That's our guy. Keep it positive. Vern, stay safe, and I love you as always, man.
Love you too, buddy. Thanks, man.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider here on 96.5 The Fan. His pregame, Vern's On Deck show, starts at 5:30 tonight on 96.5 The Fan. Bob, what do you say? What do you say we give the people a new little segment here that we like to call, what is it?
On the Come.
That's right. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. Welcome to the new wave of 96.5 The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco, Dusty, Mac, all with you on a Tuesday morning, just grinding along. We're already almost to the final hour. Bob tried to warn you earlier in the show that this week was going to fly by fast.
Fly by.
He's already tasting the tacos that he's going to have tonight with the family.
Taco Tuesday, baby.
So you guys do that. That's interesting. I like
No,
that.
We don't. Oh, okay. But I had tacos on Friday. I think it's okay, right? I went to Ground Cactus on Friday. No, I had some shrimp tacos. Ooh. Had some of their salmon tacos in the past. Phenomenal tacos. Go see my friend Ryan at Cactus at 159. Say hello. Get a margarita or two. But you know what I did? I had some steak over the weekend with the Hy-Vee steak sale, right? Got a couple of ribeyes. Got a couple of strip steaks, right? Yep. And had some leftover, turned it into steak pizza aioli yesterday with homemade tomato sauce. Yeah, from the top shelf. Homemade tomato sauce. Made it myself.
Wow.
Sounds like Scott's Italian uncle. Just to see Bob's face have that hit him all at one moment. Because he looked at me like he didn't know what the hell I was doing. And then it like melted and he's like, yeah, damn it, Dusty.
So, no, I've been like it's just... I'm out of the preservative game now, you know, it's just like, we're trying to eat clean and trying to eat healthy and trying to eat clean more than anything. And so if I can make my own tomato sauce, I will do that instead of buying the jarred variety. That's not hard.
No.
Caramelize some onions, throw them in some tomatoes and call it a day. And it tastes pretty good.
Wow, okay,
when the kid, my wife actually says it tasted good.
You know, it was
legit.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't like anything, including me.
New sports radio show beat Bobby Fesco.
Yeah, we could do it. I love it, man. So made some steak pizza aioli last night.
So
the kicker to that, I'll tell you what, I never did this before. Pepperoncinis. Cook the pepperoncinis with the, oh my God, the aromatics in the kitchen. Oh,
that's amore.
That is amore.
So good.
New topic, or new little fun thing we'll do every Tuesday at this time at 8:45. Called On the Come. That's something that Bob said is a saying. I've yet to believe it. I don't know if it really exists, but it's now a show bit. And this week's version of On the Come is a player for the Kansas City Chiefs who you are willing to say is on the come this year, which means getting ready to show you that they are actually going to arrive and be here. Mac, since your name is first on the rundown, why don't you go ahead and give us your player that is on the come for the Kansas City Chiefs roster this year?
This was harder than I thought it was going to be, by the way, guys. I don't know about you, but it's like every player that I had, that's a great one. Ooh, that's a guy that I think is going to be. Ooh, this is a guy that slept on. Then I came back to the offensive line. Juwan Taylor. This is a guy who I think people who really know football and watch the Kansas City Chiefs know he's a solid player.
He's a great's too big of a word to use. He's a really good football player.
He's really good.
That got screwed because of what happened on the opener last year and never got an opportunity to make good for that first game against the Lions, right?
All because Chris Collinsworth wouldn't shut the heck up about him moving a half second before the snap. He was made an example of. They put a magnifying glass on his game the rest of the year. It was absolutely unfair, and I believe he was, again, made an example of, and I don't think that'll happen this year. I think Juwan Taylor has been and will be and will continue to be this season a fantastic player, and I think this year we're going to see the national media go, oh, wow, Juwan Taylor's actually not total garbage like PFF tried to tell us. He's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think he is total garbage, and I think that's why when you look at stats sometimes, it kind of skews, you know, what you're looking at. Did you have a problem with Juwan Taylor last year? Did you worry that he wasn't going to be able to block?
Never.
The answer's no, and he was a really good football player for this team last year, and I thought really kind of got the short end of the stick because of the way that the season started on national TV.
So I guess on the come for the national perspective rather than you and I, because I know a lot of us and a lot of people listening know who Juwan Taylor really is.
Yeah. Mm. Who do you have, Dusty?
Mine is Leo Chenault. You made moves in the offseason. No Willie Gay, right? Got rid of the outside. Put Drew Tranquil in there as well. More action there. And you drafted Leo Chenault, I think, for this year. I think he is a player that shows electricity on the outside. Is one of those guys that is very vital when it comes to games where you play teams like the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday night when Lamar Jackson thinks he can get cute and get outside and try to do some sort of, you know, stretch play to the outside, maybe get a couple extra yards on a busted play. Leo Chenault can be that guy that closes that gap pretty quick. We see a lot of new development in tight end play. Buffalo's going to run with two. Sam Laporta in Detroit. I know you're not playing a lot of these teams that have these great tight end, but Mark Andrews on Thursday night. There are a lot of good questions for a guy like Leo Chenault who is on the come this year that could really be a vital point in this game. You're playing a very, very athletic Baltimore Ravens team, and in week two, you're going to play a very, very athletic Cincinnati Bengals team. A guy like Leo Chenault who's ready to go, ready to show his spot in this defense and be one of those outside lightning bolts. For me, a lot of games, boys, I'm going to be watching what Leo Chenal is doing, where he's going to be, and where he can close those gaps, because we've seen the past. Third and three, third and four, Buffalo's got the ball, Josh Allen's getting ready to go. Is he going to try to take that outside run? Is he going to try to go up? Leo Chenal is the kind of guy that with his athletic ability and the way that he's been trained in this defense and now is going to get an opportunity to be a lot more overly modulated on this defense, I think Leo Chenal could be a good guy to look at as on the come this year for the Chiefs.
All right. Since day one of training camp, I've been hearing about this player from folks in the organization telling me, look out, look out, look out. This guy's going to have an unbelievable year,
Jaden Hicks.
It's not Jaden Hicks. To me, it's Rashee Rice. And I think Rashee Rice is going to be, besides Travis Kelce, obviously, the most important receiver for the Chiefs this year. And I think he's going to be, again, besides Travis Kelce, the most reliable wide receiver that the Chiefs have this year. I think he has a lot to prove, right? Obviously, what happened this offseason, you know, with him showed he was a little bit immature off the field. I think he's figured it out. I think he's got a lot to prove and a lot to show. And I think Rashee Rice is going to have himself a huge season. By the time this season winds up, we're going to be talking about an unbelievable season for Rashee Rice. I think he's going to be that big for this team this year. And it started in day one of training camp. They've been raving about this guy.
Is he wide receiver one?
He is wide receiver one for me. Yeah.
Easy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I mean, he had a great year last year. Damn near had 1,000 yards as a rookie. Yeah. Kind of got started late, got the playbook.
Really did get started late. Like, second half of the season is kind of when he took off, right?
And what's crazy to think about how last year was for Rashee Rice is you look at all the narratives of Andy Reid where rookie wide receivers don't get a huge chance, and then last year it was like, we don't really have anybody else but this rookie, and that rookie was huge in overtime versus San Francisco, got checked on the sidelines by Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, all in like 5 minutes was like brought to earth, brought back down to earth, and then brought right back up to like, dude, trust me, you're my guy, you can do it. And Rashee Rice is one of those guys that when we look at this sort of roster, we look at what Mahomes likes in a wide receiver, that guy can be very addicting for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, from the text line, a lot coming in on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, a lot of FAUs coming in on the text line today, and I think that's a fair one as well. A guy that obviously redshirted, if you will, last year. You didn't really see him play, didn't need to see him play. This may be the year you need to see him play and see what he can do. And, you know, he's another one of those guys that I know people wrote off last year. Ah, no good. Well, he hasn't really had the opportunity to play yet. That was kind of a redshirt year going into last season for him. And so this year he now has the opportunity to go out there and perform. I hope people give him that opportunity, not like they did with Juwan Taylor, where they just wrote him off after week one. I hope people give FAU the opportunity to go out there and be a good football player and allow him to be a good football player and accept him if he's a good football player, too.
Another one that's coming in is Chamari Connor, a.k.a. the new Snead from the 913. Jaden Hicks is another one of those guys. We don't really know much about him, so I don't know if he can really be on the come yet, but we'll see what happens. I'm interested to see. Maybe it's Hollywood Brown's your guy that's like, you know what? Finally got a quarterback that's like elite. Had Kyler Murray, had Lamar Jackson, both decent quarterbacks. Lamar, obviously, probably the second or third best quarterback, depending on who you ask in the AFC. But again, look, you say it's going to be Juwan Taylor, you say Rashee Rice, and I say Leo Chenal. I like that because you go offensive line, you go wide receiver, I go outside linebacker, all of which could be very vital positions for this team to continue to stay at the top of the league and go out for a three-peat. You are listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is sponsored by brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City Liftmasters. Patented IQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Coming up on the other side, start, bench, cut. We do football players. We also do culinary players that are vital to your menus. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for kit cheese.
You got it.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.